Proverbs 29, 1 through 7, I'm going to remain in an ambitious mood trying to get seven verses and seven of these nuggets of wisdom communicated to you tonight. We did well last week, so if you'll continue to pray and pray that we'll do as equally as well this week as we did last week. Verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. I read those seven and I thought, you know, those are all pretty much repetitious of things we've already talked about. They are repeated wisdom. I don't think God repeated them because he had forgot that he had given to us before. I don't think he was just trying to fill up 31 chapters so he began to repeat. I think it's important that these things are repeated because we are so easy to forget these things in our hearts. So let's pray and then we'll try to tackle them one by one. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the night. Thank you for the day. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness, for your gifts of mercy. And thank you for being such a great God, a wonderful, loving, caring, giving God. I could not tonight begin to express the greatness of who you are. But God, may our hearts be full of your goodness and your greatness. May we rejoice in you tonight, knowing that you have by your own blood secured eternal redemption for us. Lead us and guide us and direct us as we look into your word tonight. Open our ears, open our hearts. Preach to us, speak to us through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me begin by talking about wisdom and stubbornness. Wisdom and stubbornness. Now, you may not admit this, but we are all, to some degree, a little stubborn. Amen? Proverbs has spoken often about the benefits of reproof and has spoken of the danger of spurning reproof. Here he says, he that being often reproved hardens his neck and suddenly, or shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. The question, or the idea here is that when we are stubborn, when we are rebellious, we are ignoring correction or instruction. We are ignoring conviction. When God convicts us about something and we have not sought God in help to change it. We have authorities in our life. We have teachers in our life. We have those who God has put in our life who have reminded us about this matter or that matter, and yet we just refuse to address it, and thus it is not corrected. God is patient, isn't he? God is long-suffering. God is gracious and God is merciful. But he's not going to be that forever. And any person who rejects his many offers of wisdom and correction, and that is stubbornly refused, are going to one day be destroyed. And there will be no recovery from His judgment. I just want to remind you that rebellion and stubbornness are sins against the Most High God. And He will not always overlook them. For those who ignore sin, or those who ignore correction, those who harden themselves against truth, will one day be destroyed and will be judged for that. It would be to God that every church member in America would know that, that as they come to church, they would hear God's word and they would not harden themselves to it, but they would submit themselves to God's truths. And God has put a lot of folks into our lives. He has put our parents, He has put friends, He has put pastors and ministers, He has put our conscience in play for us, Scripture, the Spirit, various circumstances. But Solomon says here, many harden their necks, or they rebel, or they reject correction, and they hear it without ever seeing that that correction makes any difference. And if we just ignore correction, then we are going to deserve severe judgment. And that's what Solomon says will happen here. Men will be destroyed. Their lives will be ruined. They will be extend past any opportunity of healing or recovery. And stubbornness is not good. Stubbornness is not helpful. Stubbornness is sinful. Amen? And I know that we live in a culture that says God is watching from a distance and God overlooks our sins and it doesn't matter what the Bible says or it doesn't matter what God thinks, but one day God will be done in extending grace and it will matter. Amen? It will. Don't be stubborn against God's Word. Submit to it and obey it. Amen? Wisdom and stubbornness. Number two, wisdom and sorrow. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. That again sounds like something we've already talked about, but just another reminder. I hope I don't upset you tonight. I understand that we live in probably the greatest nation in the world. We have experienced, I think, the bountiful blessings of God. But can I say this? As God's people, we have nothing to rejoice in our country. Nothing. Matter of fact, Solomon says here that we should be mourning. The wicked rule our country. The wicked are in leadership of our country. And Solomon says here, when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. God's people mourn under the wicked leadership of the country. Amen? How can we rejoice as God's people of our country when we are killing babies and selling their parts? And with that knowledge clearly, right, evident, Still 62% of Americans still want to fund Planned Parenthood. How can we rejoice when we can see these truths and yet ignore them? How can we be rejoiceful in our country when righteousness is so weakly thought of? Truth is so unimportant. Wisdom is compromised and corrupted on a daily basis. If we had righteous leadership, we would have every reason to rejoice. But in wickedness, God's people ought to be sorrowful. Amen. I am an American. But given the direction of our country, given the wickedness of our leadership, I mourn. Our country who we sing, God bless America, and how can God bless this mess? It's simply, when we sing about God and America, it's simply hypocrisy, is it not? God's people should mourn at the sinfulness of our society, the sinfulness of our culture. I'm not sure we do, but I think we should mourn. We should pray, we should be examples, but we should be mourning. Amen? Wisdom and sorrow. Number three, wisdom and sex. Now, I'm not entirely comfortable talking about this, but I'll try to get through it. Whosoever loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots, not playing cards with harlots, right? He that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. So here we're back to this idea that we've already talked about. Children can make or break their parents. You can make the heart rejoiceful, or you can make the heart sorrowful or sad. A loving son, or a son that loves wisdom, can bring great joy to his parents, and a son that is foolish can grieve their hearts. And the instance, or the thing that Solomon points to here, is illicit sexual encounters. Let me say this. God is clear that sex is a gift from God to be exercised and to be enjoyed inside of a marriage relationship between a man and a woman. Amen? And any sexual encounter outside of that God-given parameters is foolish, is sinful, and is wrong. Amen? If children want to cause their godly fathers to rejoice, then they look at the wisdom of God with this idea of sexual relationships, and they keep that in the parameters and the boundaries of what God has set forth. And when they stray away from that, they bring grievance to their parents' hearts. Here, someone who keeps company with harlots, spends all their money on harlots. That's outside of God's realm of wisdom. A son pleasing his father will love wisdom. Amen? And if you love wisdom, then you're going to be sexually pure as God has set that forth. Amen? We live in a very sexual generation where we think, or the world thinks, that anything goes. and that we can do anything that we want with our bodies, with whoever we want to, and there's no consequences and there's no repercussions, and there is. Amen. Whether that's homosexuality, whether that's adultery, whether that's fornication, or whatever it is. It is to be enjoyed by one man, one woman, inside of a covenant of marriage. Amen. Nowhere else. Number four, wisdom and stability. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. Again, I think we've already talked about this before, but let's talk about it again. A family, a church, an organization, a nation. How is stability guarded and nurtured in those things? I think Solomon here tells us by fairness and by righteousness and by justice. When things are done wrongly, when things are done underhandedly, when things are not done fairly, I think that that chips away at the very stability of all things. Amen? Now, would you not agree that if you have two children, you need to treat them fairly? You know, there are some children that are just messed up because their parents didn't treat them fairly, right? One's spoiled, one's not. They're all just messed up. It is important that we do things right. It is important that we do things righteously. It is important that we extend fairness and justice. Is that not true in a family? Is that not true in the church? That we don't have little cliques and we don't have little pockets of people who are better than others, right? Who get better treatment than others, yes? Is it not true in our country? When we have a king or when we have leadership that establishes judgment or justice, that land has a stability, that nation has stability. But where we have people who are receiving gifts for certain decisions, and when decisions are made not on the rightness of the thing but on financial gain, then we lose all our stability. Yes? So when you think about this for just a moment, you think about, well, who runs Washington? Well, you know who runs Washington, right? Lobbyists and special interest groups. And how do they run Washington? With money. They give money. And in the giving of money, they expect the representative or the senator to vote their way. Amen? You see, when that happens, when that's true, the nation has lost all stability. It's not right and wrong. It's who has the most money. Who's going to pad my pocket the most? Right? What did Trump say? Did they not accuse Trump of giving politicians money? Giving Hillary money? And what did Trump say? When I gave her money, I knew she had to do what I wanted her to do. That's the intention of giving the money, so that they will do what I want them to do. And that's what politicians do. Instead of doing that which is right, instead of standing on the principles of what is right and wrong, they do what is best for them financially. That ruins the stability of a country. It's why we're in the mess we're in. Amen? And that goes for fathers and husbands and wives and mothers and churches. We have to do what is right no matter what. Amen? And we can't not do what is right for financial gain. Right? Because doing things for financial gain overthrows the stability of whatever it is. Verse 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Wisdom and speech. Again. The problem here is one who flatters, one who speaks kind words, who... It's really not one who speaks kind words. Speaking kind words is something we should do. It's more of a silver tongue, smooth talker who uses his words to seduce. It's one who goes overboard on the flattery, right? Now, every one of us in here likes flattery, right? Anybody here say, I hate when people talk good about me? I hate that with a passion. I want people to always talk bad about me and run me down. I hate when they say anything good about me whatsoever. And we all like that. It strokes our pride. It feeds our egos, right? It's dangerous. It's dangerous. It produces a positive and warm response from the ones who hear it. But if we're doing it to manipulate and we're doing it to cause a desired reaction, then it's wrong. It's sin. Amen? In other words, this is what Solomon says. There are some people that will tell you what you want to hear, and in those words, you can't see it, but there's a hook. There's a trap. Just like when you go to the river or you go to the lake and you throw that lure out there, the fish get it, but they don't know till it's too late. There's a hook in it. Amen? And flattery is like that. It's like that. When men flatter other men, other people, for some sort of reason, then it's a net. It is a trap. It is a snare. And it's a sin. It's a lie. Amen? Do this. It's a lie. When we do it and we don't really mean it. It's done with a deceptive motive. It's profane. It's perverse. And we ought to stay away from flatterers. But you don't understand. He always tells me what I want to hear. He always tells me what I want to hear, and it makes me feel so good. You're hooked. You're hooked. Amen? And now you're going to have to suffer the consequences of desiring and liking the flattery. What does Solomon always say? Rebuke is better. Rebuke is better. Now, God has to say that because we won't believe that. What's better than flattery? Rebuke. Someone loves you more to tell you the truth than to tell you what you want to hear. Right? And politicians and salespeople, they are good at flattery, and there are some preachers and ministers that are pretty good at it too. Amen? Brother Joel will tell you exactly what you want to hear. Yes? There are lots of preachers that are going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. They're flatterers. They hook you. They snare you. They entrap you. Be someone who wants to hear what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. Amen? Number 6, wisdom and sin. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. Again, almost the same thing, right? In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. Now, let me just say this real quickly here. In every sin, there is a hook, there is a snare, there is an entrapment. In every single one of them. When we choose to transgress against a commandment of God, when we decide to do things our own way, when we have no regard or respect for God's Word, when we are in love with our own thoughts and our own ideas, when we believe we can get away with our sin, when we are convinced that we can find happiness by sinning, when we confidently reject wisdom and choose the path of fools, we are deceived, number one, and we are going to be ensnared by that sin. I want you to know something. There is no sin that we can commit that doesn't have consequences. And not good consequences. And like I said last week, I think we always think that we're different. We know that sin has entrapped everyone else, and we know that sin has wrecked other people's lives, but we're different. We're going to do it differently. We're better than that, and we're not. We're not. The claws of that trap will suddenly spring shut, and we are trapped. You remember the old preacher said this, sin will always take you farther than you want to go. It's true. It's true. That fish doesn't want to come out of the water, does it? But when he takes that bait, he's pulled out of the water, trapped. And sin does that. We should make light of sin, because it all has a snare in it, and it all has terrible consequences for us. But if we avoid sin, if we avoid transgressions, what do? We sing. We rejoice. Amen? That's what it says. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous does sing and rejoice. If you don't sin, and you're going to sin, but if we do our best and ask God to help us avoid sinning, we're not going to have to suffer the consequences of it. Say amen. And there will be days of rejoicing, and there will be days of singing. Every one of us wants to be happy, right? I want to be happy, don't you? Don't you want to be happy? I want to be happy. Do you know the person who knows more about being happy and being truly contented and being truly fulfilled than all the men put together is God? And what God says here is this: sin will not make you happy. It won't. There is no happiness, no lasting happiness, our fulfillment, our contentment in our sin. There's rejoicing and singing in righteousness. Amen? Wisdom in sin. And sin tells us this. Sin says this: do this. It'll make you happy. And when you do that, it won't make you. Amen? Don't listen to sin. Listen to God. Number 7. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Wisdom and selfishness. And this is all I want to say here. A man's standing with God affects how he views those who stand before him. Can I say that again? Our standing with God will affect how we view those who stand before us. The wicked don't want to know about needs. The righteous consider the cause of the poor. Selfish and stingy persons, who are the wicked in this proverb, do not think or do not care or do not want to know about those who have needs. They are obsessed with their own lives, and they have no room in their mind or in their heart for others. In Christ, we who are redeemed are called to serve each other. There is no place in God's kingdom for non-servants. As God's people, we are to serve one another. We are to provide what is needed for each other. And to those who are less fortunate than us, who have less than us, we give so that they can have and not do without. And our heart is truly concerned for others if we are in Christ. If our hearts aren't in Christ, if we're not in Christ, our hearts don't care about others. Did you know that God's not impressed with our fasting or our church attendance or our Bible reading or anything like that? He's not impressed with us keeping the Sabbath or any of those things. If at the same time you ignore the responsibility to serve others. God measures our religion where it counts, in our hearts. And nothing will reveal your heart like your wallet. Amen? Am I willing to give? Am I willing to serve? Am I willing to help others financially? That reveals our hearts. And our hearts are changed because of Christ. And those changed hearts, those redeemed hearts, those new hearts now consider the cause of the poor, where unregenerate hearts don't even want to know about it. So a man's relationship with God affects how he views those who stand before him. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for those who have come. We pray, God, as we have already looked at these thoughts before, as you have given them to us again tonight, that we would pay careful attention, that you would cause these truths to be relevant in our hearts, and God, that they would resonate, and God, that you would use them to help us to be more wise in our conduct and in our daily walk. God, we want to live our lives wisely and pleasing unto you. And I have lived my life so foolishly. I pray that you would forgive me and help me to live my life in a more wiser direction according to your word. I pray that would be true for all of us. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen.